Good morning. My name is BJ. I'm the lead pastor here of Adventure, and we are in a series called Who Are We? Where we're taking a look at our culture points. And last week, we began our first week of our culture point discipleship. I gave you all a challenge that each one of us would go out and be discipled by someone. We would invite ourselves and humble ourselves to be mentored and discipled by someone. And then the challenge was that each one of us would go and disciple someone else. And it's amazing when we follow this command of Jesus, what the impact can be, how we can go out and if we are truly making disciples, people who are following Christ, who then go and make disciples, how it multiplies and how that impact can be spread around the world. And so it is because of that that I have the joy and pleasure of introducing to you the king. Specifically, Joel is going to share with us. Joel is one of the Adventure's missionaries in Africa, and he's going to be sharing with you some of his story about discipleship. They've long been family here, a beloved family of Adventure, and so if you haven't got the opportunity to meet them, I'm excited to invite them. Would you join me in prayer as they come up? Jesus, I thank you so much for the kings. I thank you so much for their story and what you've been doing. And Jesus, we pray that you would speak through Joel this morning and through the stories of what you're doing. Lord, help us to join in the celebration of discipleship taking place around the world in Africa as we get to participate along. So would you speak through him? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Joel.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate that. That's exactly what I needed. Perfect. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is always wonderful for us to come back here. Adventure, as BJ said, Adventure is our home here. We have been involved with Adventure since it just about 6 months after it started. So we got started in early part of 2005. And so coming back here is always exciting for us. This is where a major part of our journey began. And so this morning, I kind of want to just kind of go through a little bit about where we came from and what that journey was like. Where were we now? Where we are now with regards to our ministry? And then a little bit about what's brought us back right now. And then if I have time, hopefully, I want to finish with a specific ministry that we're involved with in Africa. I'm going to try to speak slowly. I tend to get excited and start speaking fast. I actually have a note here that says, slow down. So that's my first reminder. I really want to try and tie in to the series that you guys are in, especially last week on discipleship. So much of our journey, Lorena's and my journey, involved discipleship, and a lot of that discipleship was involved right here at Adventure. We are all a product of discipleship. Lorena and I are a product of discipleship. Each of us is a product of discipleship. In some way or another, or otherwise, we probably wouldn't be here this morning. And so I grew up in a church. My parents were missionaries. Lorena did not grow up in a church. She wasn't saved till her mid-20s. Like I said, we had attended Adventure out here in 2005. We had just moved to the area. We had two kids. We've got a daughter, Renee, is 14. You can see her up there. She's a little younger in that picture. And our son is 12. And so shortly after this church was planted, we moved to the area. Our first introduction to Adventure was a Wednesday evening, Wednesday night marriage series. I wouldn't say our marriage was in trouble at the time when we first attended that, but the honeymoon stage had definitely worn off. I read that to Lorena the other day, and she's like, oh, yeah. And like I said, it wasn't in trouble, but we had just built a house. I don't know if any of you have built a house with a spouse. It can be rough sometimes. And so we had just moved out here, just moved into this house that we had built. And that marriage series was huge for us. And I think what really got us the most was we were shocked at how people wanted to come around us, come alongside us and walk with us, encourage us, and pray with us. People who are living godly lives in a godly manner. And that's what we found when we came into this community here. Here were people who wanted to steer us back on the right track. Not necessarily through anything that they said specifically, but rather by creating a safe place for us to come, to open up and share our hearts, and then let God do the teaching and let the Holy Spirit speak to us through that safe place. I think a lot of people feel that they need to have all the right words in order to do discipleship, and that's not the case. I think rather it's an ability to provide that safe place for someone to be able to open up their heart and again, let the Holy Spirit or God come in and speak to them. This was the beginning for us. From there, we got involved in Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights, men's and women's. Again, individuals were coming alongside us and giving us that opportunity to share our hearts, and they were there to listen and walk and guide. But more importantly, it was a place for the Holy Spirit to do most of the teaching. Over time, we were asked to be group or table leaders, and not because we were any experts in biblical studies or theology, but rather, I think we were just a little bit farther down the journey. We were still being mentored and discipled by others, and we still had a lot to learn and a lot to grow. God was still working in our lives. We were just a little farther down the road than the next new person coming in. We had experienced what it was like to have somebody walk with us, and now we were just taking baby steps with others. And that's what discipleship started to look like for us. First, we were being discipled by others as we came in, as we were trying to find ourselves, work through our issues, and work through what we had going on in our lives. But then over time, as we worked down that journey or as we worked down that path, it opened the door for us to walk alongside other people. Through all of this, God was drawing us closer to Him, preparing us for what He had next for our lives. We had a lot of work to do for what He had in store for us. We both became part of ministry lead teams, furthering our knowledge and faith of knowledge and faith and Bible and discipleship skills. A lot of it was new to me. I had grown up in the church, but seeing it this way and being mentored this way was very, very different. A lot of it was scary. I can guarantee when I first walked into this church, I probably said, "You will never see me up there, ever, ever." But through the encouragement and through people in this church, I look around and I can see a couple of faces already who were a major, major part in helping get me up here and helping me get to where we're at. And so we became part of these leadership teams and honing our skills and our knowledge of the Bible and skills of discipleship. And like I said, it was uncomfortable. It was scary. It pushed my comfort zone to a whole new level. It stretched me in ways that I'd never been stretched. But most importantly, it drew me closer to God. Somebody once said that faith begins, or I heard somebody say, and I thought it really applied to me, faith begins at the end of your comfort zone. And that's where I was at. I was being pushed to the end of my comfort zone. And I think that's really where I drew closer to God, and that's where my faith really grew. To me, discipleship is a process of being willing to be taught and then doing the same for others. John 13, 14 to 15. This was in your study notes from last week. And this verse, as I was going through this one really hit me. And it kind of explains that better than anything. "Now that I, Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Discipleship, it's a journey. In Mark 1, Jesus said, come, follow me. And after spending time with the disciples and pouring into them and teaching them and praying with them and working with them, he then sent them back out. And in Matthew 28, he said, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He brought them in, said, come, follow me. And he taught them, and he worked with them, and he prayed with them. And then he said, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. During the first part of my own story, my own personal journey, I felt God asking me a question. A question I continually tried to block out. A lot of you who have heard my story have heard me talk about this, because this question was a major part, a major roadblock in my life. I see Nick's laughing. He knows exactly what I'm going to say. The question came to a head at a men's mentor retreat put on by Adventure here. And the question that God was asking me is, why are you so afraid to talk to me? I remember it very clearly. I was in the middle of an open field down at the Holes house, leaning up against a rock. I had my journal. It was one of those moments where I was walking down. As I was going down, I was going, la, 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 la. You guys ever done that to God? Because you know what he's going to ask. And the question he asked, why are you so afraid to talk to me? And I knew the answer immediately. The answer I wrote in my journal was, I'm afraid of what you're going to ask me to do. I'm afraid you're going to send me to Africa. I still have that journal. And that's why I put it in. That journal was written the fall of 2006. My biggest fear at the time was being afraid of getting too close to God, because I was afraid of what he might ask me to do. I was afraid that I would have to take that command to go, therefore, and make disciples to all nations. I was comfortable where I was at. And following that command, I felt that I would have to give up all I had worked for. Now, I want to stop here real quick. You all know we are now missionaries in Africa. Some of you are looking at me going, oh, crud. If I learn this discipleship thing, or I get involved with this discipleship thing, God's going to send me to some far-off land, right? No. Well, maybe. That's not the point. There's thousands of people right here locally that need discipling. I was talking to a guy recently, and we were kind of joking about being sent to Africa. And what he said to me, he goes, you go get the easy ones, I'll stay here and get the hard ones. In a lot of ways, that's really true. In a lot of ways, it's easier for us to go and reach the people that have never been reached and people that have never heard, the people who are looking for a ray of hope. A lot of times, it's easier to go get those than to get the person right next to you that you see every day. But that's what God's called us to do. God's called us to go make disciples of all nations, including the person sitting right next to you. What God is asking us to do is to take the gifts and the abilities that he has given us and use them for his glory. Use them to reach the lost, to advance the kingdom, and specifically, to do that through discipling others. It's a journey. It really is. It's a journey. On June 2011, we left Duval on the next leg, or on a new leg of our journey. We spent the next 2 years honing our skills and getting the information and training that we needed to be able to go to Africa to do what we had been called to do. In 2013, we left for Africa. July 2013, we left for Kenya to serve with Africa Inland Missions in Amer. This is where we live. It's right here. It's a little town called Lokochogyu. It's basically the end of the road of Kenya. Some people call it the armpit of Kenya. It's kind of way up there. It's out in the middle of nowhere. We're in the middle of a desert. It's hot. It's dry. It's desert. But it's where God called us. And we love it. And I'll tell you a little more about that in a little bit. We serve with Africa Inland Mission mainly three different areas. Most of my time is spent in South Sudan, which is in the middle of a war right now. I'll talk about that a little bit more as well. Northern Kenya and Uganda. We serve AMER. We're working with missionaries, Africa Inland Mission missionaries, and about 70 other mission organizations that are focused on making disciples. My job is to provide reliable transportation to some of these missionaries and bringing them supplies, bringing them workers that they need, giving them transportation in and out of these areas. These are people that are highly trained in discipleship. I wouldn't consider myself highly trained in discipleship. These are people who, this is what they have been called to do. This family right here lives out in a very remote area. And every day he goes out into the different villages and the different areas, discipling those people and teaching those local people to be disciples. I have the opportunity to bring loads of national students and pastors back to Bible college, where they can then be better fitted or better trained to be disciples and to do discipleship. I'm not a trained pastor or teacher. God gave me the passion and the ability to be a pilot and a mechanic. And through that gifting, I am able to support those better prepared to do that type of training. God will use the gifts he has given you to accomplish his work if you're willing to let him. Yes, I have the opportunity to come along some people God puts in my path and to mentor them and to walk with them. This has not been easy for me. Here's a group of three guys that I have poured hours and hours and hours into. One of these gentlemen has passed away because of TB and drinking. Another one has chose to walk away. He would rather drink than to come around anymore. But a third one is now in a position, he's now coming to me, and he's asking and working with how he can help some of his people around him. And I'm working with him with these Solar Treasures. I'll talk about these in a little bit. It's a Bible. It's an audio Bible. He's constantly coming to me asking, can I have another one? I have somebody that wants one. What happened? Oh, sorry. Lorena's going. Distracted me. As a base manager, Lorena and I have two other families, a pilot and their wife and families, that we have the opportunity to come alongside and walk with and encourage and pray with and help them through tough times. God puts us in positions to do all sorts of opportunities of discipleship if we're willing to let the Holy Spirit guide us and speak to them. Too many people shy away from discipleship thinking they're unqualified or untrained or too shy, or you fill in the reason. It's not about qualification or training. It's about a heart to serve our Lord and Savior with the gifts he gave us, to share the love and good news of eternal salvation that was so graciously shared to us, and to journey with that person as they experience it in their own life. Like I said, it's not always been easy. These last 4 years have been a time of extreme extremely sometimes have been very extremely difficult and frustrating. And I want to see where we're at. Okay. And sometimes we need a heart check to see where we're at. As a family, we received that heart check not too long ago. We live in a fairly remote location, like I showed you on the map. We're one of three white families in the area that live there year-round. The conditions are hot. Supplies are limited. The government regulations are frustrating. There are numerous things that have made that make me ask myself, why are we here? Would it be easier to go back to the States? One of the things that we miss most is we don't have that constant mentorship of people pouring into our lives. We feel a lot of times like we pour and pour and pour, but we don't have it pouring back into our lives sometimes, just because of the circumstances where we're at. It's been tough. It's been difficult. We needed a heart check. In September, we received a call that my mother was not doing well and that we needed to come home and prepare to say goodbye. We were able to arrive back in time. We had about a really good week with her, and then she passed away in October. On entering the country, though, we were informed that Lorena, she's a Canadian citizen on a permanent resident green card, and we were informed that she was in violation of her green card status. We didn't know this. But apparently, as a green card holder, as a permanent resident green card holder, you're only allowed to leave the States for 6 months at a time, at a year. Nobody ever caught that. We've been gone for over 3.5 years. And so when we came through the States this last time, they stopped us in Seattle, and they informed us of that, and they flagged her passport and said, we'll let you go, but you need to get this taken care of when you get to Alaska. We got up to Alaska, and we got my mom. We had a chance to see my mom, and we had an opportunity to go into the USCIS office, U.S. Customs Immigration Services office. And they said the most we would probably be able to do is get maybe a year reentry permit. And we need this permit in order to leave and come back. Without that permit, when you try to come back into the U.S., they will revoke your green card and deport you to wherever you're from, wherever your passport's from. No exceptions. And the most they said that we could have is about a year. Well, then we then said, well, what about citizenship? And they said, you don't qualify. You've been out of the country too long. In order to qualify for citizenship, you have to have been in the U.S. for 2.5 out of the last 5 years. Like I said, we've been gone for 3.5. The only way that we could get citizenship, or she could get citizenship, is if we came back and permanently resided here in the U.S. for 2.5 years. Again, they said no exceptions. Heartbreak. What about our ministry? What about these guys? What about all the ladies that Lorena has become so close working with? We came back and we sat around as a family in the little cabin that we were staying at in Alaska. And we asked each other, where's home? And I started. For me, as frustrating as been dealing with some of the, like I said, the government and different things, for me, I didn't feel like my work there was done. Loki's home. Lorena. She's become at such an incredible ministry with this group of ladies there and building relationships and discipleship with them. She's starting to understand and be able to work with the remoteness and the location where we're at. And she's doing a fantastic job with teaching. For her, Loki was home. The kids, same question. They're making friends. They're adjusting. They've adjusted well to being in that area. Loki was home. And so our prayer was, God, you brought us here. Why would you take us away? But you know what our hearts are. our hearts are to go back. At that point, we didn't see any options. That night, I received an email. Actually, I received it the following morning from one of our supporters who shared with us that he had been talking to a family member who knew about a clause in the government regulations for immigration, that if you are a part of a bona fide U.S. organization and you are sent abroad as a missionary or a pastor or a priest or a brother or sister, whatever it might be, with a mission organization, time spent overseas qualifies for your citizenship. Nobody had ever told us that. He also gave us a contact of a Christian attorney, that was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, who dealt specifically with this clause. That afternoon, we ran into a friend from high school who had come back for my mom's funeral, and him and his wife had been missionaries in Russia with my parents. His wife was a Canadian. They had, while they were in Russia, gone through that process of using that clause to gain citizenship. So what looked like a closed door now became open. And to us, it was God asking us, where's your heart? Where's your heart? And I think when we turned and we said, God, our heart's where you put us, he says, okay, this is how you get back there. So right now, where we're at is we have applied for the reentry permit, and we've applied for the citizenship. We're waiting on answers on both of them. Both of them can be denied. The government has that option, has that right to do that because of how long that we were out of the country. We did not intentionally do that. We've made that very clear to them. And they have the right, they have the ability to grant citizenship, and that's what we're praying for. One of the ministries I do want to talk about real quick is this Solar Bible. And that's why we're back here. We're back here because we're kind of stuck back here a little bit. Not that we don't love being back here. We love being back here, especially during the Christmas holidays. That's nice. But we have coworkers that are struggling. And we want to get back. We'd love to stay with you here, but we want to get back as quick as we can and continue the work that God's got us there doing. One of those works involves this little device right here. I spoke briefly about it when we were here year and a half ago. This is a treasure. It's a solar Bible. And it's in a lot of different languages. This particular one is in Swahili. And so each device comes in a different language depending on the areas that we're working at. It's solar powered. And it's got, most of them have at least the New Testament on it and then local tribal stories, the gospel story in a language or in a format that these people will understand. I never realized it, but the majority of people that we work with, I would venture in the 90% can't read. They're illiterate. You can hand them all a Bible, and none of them would know what to do with it. But you hand them a device that speaks to them in their language, the scripture, the good news. This is what we're using in discipleship. I don't speak Swahili very well, but this speaks it perfectly. And discipleship, a big part of it, is learning the scripture. Learning what God has for us. Learning what God says. And so we use this device in a lot of different scenarios. This is just some of our neighbors. These are people that live on the compound with us that we see every single day. And we see them sitting out in front of their little tukul there. And you can see a little cook stove over there. And they don't have a kitchen. That's their kitchen right outside. And this is right across. This is 100 feet from our house. These two ladies, and they're out there all the time. And so we gave them one of these devices, the Word of God in their language. This is a group of guys that were working on the runway at the airport that I operated in and out of. They knew that I was a Christian. I was out there one Sunday. I was having to flight follow for one of our airplanes that didn't make it back, and he was having to come back on Sunday. And these guys were out working on the runway, and they saw me there, and they came running and said, "It's Sunday. And we heard you have a radio. can you get us a radio? And I happened to have, two of them were in Swahili, one of them was in Turkana. And they sat as they worked all day long with that in their pocket, listening to the scripture. This is a pastor. Pastor Isaac is a gentleman that we work with. Fantastic, fantastic discipler. That's his mission. He came to Loki from a far-off area, and because he felt God calling him to disciple and work with these people. And so he uses these devices. He sits down with each individual person. He doesn't just hand them out. He sits down with each individual person one-on-one and walks through the value of this device. And he prays with them. And then he gives them a device and sends them out. And then he follows up with them, continually follows up with them, walking with them. And so here's a national discipling other nationals. In the bulletins, I didn't bring one up, but in the bulletin, we had the opportunity. I want to thank that. It's okay, Ian, thanks. Thank the BJ for giving us the opportunity to kind of write out some specific prayer requests and some of the things that we're going through. The treasure is one of those. We'd like to be able to, at some point, get more of those. But there's also stuff in there about South Sudan. South Sudan is in the middle of a war right now. How are we doing on time? We're good? South Sudan's in the middle of a war right now. I just got news, read news 2 days ago or yesterday, that it's about potentially to erupt on the scale of Rwanda, genocide that happened in Rwanda. And these are the people that we work with. And so please, please pray for South Sudan. Pray for the missionaries that we have in South Sudan. They are being persecuted. They are being chased out of their homes. Their homes are being burnt. Their villages are being terrorized. The pastors that they've been working with are being killed and thrown out into the street. This is happening today. And this is where we work. These are our people. But there's hope. I want to share one last story with regards to this. We live right on the border. I showed you that picture. We're about 40 kilometers from the South Sudan border. The people north of us are the Toposa. We live with the Turkana. For many, many years, there's been this tribal raiding back and forth. They steal each other's cattle and then run back across the border, back and forth. It got to a head. There was about a three-month period where there was shooting. We'd hear shooting all the time. And it became retaliatory where one would go up, they'd steal some cows, but then it got out of hand. Some people were killed. Some young shepherds were killed. And then they came down in retaliatory and they struck. The Toposa came down and they killed some Turkana boys. And then the Turkana went up and they killed more people. And it was getting really bad. And it was one of these attacks, it was a retaliatory attack from our village where we live that was headed north. And it's about a three-day walk. And these young men, I don't know how many of them were, but these young men, they stopped by, one of them stopped by his mother's house to pick up some supplies. And in doing so, he knew she had this radio, something to listen to for 3 days while they walked to do this retaliatory strike. And he grabbed the solar. They got about halfway up there. And they were so convicted by the word of God and the scripture that they were hearing, they turned around and came home. This story was told to me by a group of pastors that we have using these. From that day, I don't think there has been any more strikes, retaliatory strikes, in our area. Praise God. The word's getting out there. Not only are they not fighting, but it gave enough of a break in the violence for the tribal leaders to get together, and they're now trading. They're trading livestock, they're trading goods and stuff like that. Please pray. One of those items in that, read through that. One of the stories on one of those pages, I don't remember what day it was, talks about that. Pray for continued peace with that. I want to thank you guys so much. This church means so much to us, and just really want to thank you for all of your prayers, all of your support, and in allowing us to be out there. So BJ, thank you.